the winning sound of Network Sports.
Pleasant good evening to you and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com with a question they're asking from Bridgetown, Barbados, right through to Georgetown, Guyana. What's gone wrong with the Barbados Tridents, the defending champions? Well, it's not been good for them at all. In fact, they won the first game, and it was a tight battle. But ever since then, things have gone downhill for the Tridents. But that was the case in some instances last year, and they were eventual winners of the competition. So I suppose about peaking at the right time. But what we've seen so far from the Tridents, I imagine, does not inspire a great deal of confidence. If we really want to look at the CPL, I know Dr. Andrew Ford has got the stats. We can look at that as well. We also asked the question, is the CPL doing enough for West Indies cricket? Well, the Pakistan-England tests, rain helped a bit, of course. In the end, that ended in a draw. And in terms of a local cricket as well, we note with interest that there's a Carlton T20 Classic, which is going to be on a little bit later on, and around 7:15 or so, we're hoping to join Wayne Cool Simmons to tell us about this. I understand that some big names may very well be there as well. Good evening, I'm Andrew Mason. Of course, we've got Dr. Andrew Ford, and already on Zoom, we've got Kyle Mayers in his lovely chain. I'm sure he bought that somewhere in London when he was there recently. And of course, we also have a man who would have voted in the last elections, Sir Raghunath, the former West Indies cricketer as well. And on the line, because news broke today that the West Indies women are travelling. Yes, the women are going to England. And I know that Johnny Grave is on holiday. He doesn't have a great deal of time. So we're going to go straight to him, just about 10 minutes or so with Johnny, because I would imagine he wants to get ready his kids for school there in Antigua and in Barbuda. Johnny, good evening to you. How are you, my friend? Johnny? Is Johnny with us? All right, I think we've lost Johnny Graves, so we're going to try to get him back very, very soon. But we've got our good friend Kyle Mayers on Zoom, very much in the bubble. Hello, Kyle, how are you? Kyle?
Hi, good afternoon.
Okay,
good evening to all.
Good evening.
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing pretty okay as well. Of course, Dr. Andrew Ford. Can we hear you, Dr. Ford? How are you?
I hope you can hear me, Andrew. Good night to you and to the guests.
Indeed. And of course, we've also have our good friend, Mr. Raghunath, there in Trinidad and Tobago. Sharish, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
All right, good. All right. And we're going to try to get, of course, Johnny Grave on the line. Perhaps we can start with Kyle. How has it been for you in the bubble so far? Kyle, how has it been?
I think it's tough, to be honest. After traveling to England and being in a bubble there for 2 months, and then spending 2 days home and then coming straight to CPL, it was kind of tough. I mean, the restrictions here in the Caribbean are way different to the ones in England, where in England they were more lenient in players doing a lot more. CPL is tough because we had to stay in our rooms for 7 days, you know, like a JSL, won't see anyone, won't coming out at all. And then for a period of time, we couldn't, you know, interact with our teammates. You know, normally we would go to a guy room and we would chat and stuff like that. That was restricted. Moving around was restricted as well. So it was kind of tough. I mean, but this is a new norm. I think this is something we need to get accustomed to. And so far, it's eased up a bit and become a little more normal.
Interesting you said that, because last week, Keswick Williams said it was almost like living in a prison. Is it that bad in the bubble?
Yeah, it was, to be honest. And you know, chatting to some of my family members and friends back home, you know, we would crack a joke and I would let them know, like, You know, when it's lunchtime, they will come and knock at the door and just leave the food outside in the tray and stuff like that. So
really?
He's correct. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like prison. But at the end of the day, prisoners don't get paid. So it's a paid prison. So you can take this any day.
It's a paid prison. Just before we go to Kenny Benjamin, who's joined us, and I'm sure that Dr. Ford has got a question for you. What is the major difference? You were very much in a bubble in England. How is it so different?
As I said, there are more restrictions here, surprisingly. I don't think they have the infrastructure like how England had with the equipment and different sources or whatever the case may be. In England, people that were involved in the cricket were actually staying in the bubble. In Trinidad, it's a little different where you still have people working, going home and coming back. So it's a little difficult. So that's maybe why the restrictions are so tough in terms of like wearing your mask 24/7 around the hotel and stuff like that. We're in England, it was a little more lenient where guys could walk around the hotel with a little more freedom. Obviously, the equipment here too in the games room is not as good as England as well. So it's tough. So guys normally just try to play some dominoes like back in the old days. You know, and try to make use of any little time you have.
Mm-hmm. I see. Doc, you got a question for good old Kyle Mayers? You've never been in a bubble, Doc, have you been?
luckily, I haven't needed to be. Kyle, in a situation where you're sequestered from your teammates like that, except for when you're playing, how are you able to effectively discuss team strategy and to bond as a unit because you only get to see each other when you're actually functional? Do you guys have a team group WhatsApp chat, or do you do Zoom meetings, or how do you guys really keep working on the team, especially with the Barbados team in a bit of a struggle now? I think lots of discussion and stuff would need to be done.
Well, at this time, as I said, it's easier now. The restrictions were lifted, so players, we gather around each other now, and we have meetings and whatnot. But before, we had a lot of Zoom meetings as well. We even had a Zoom workout every day. The trainer would come on Zoom, and we would do a workout with everybody coming online, from manager to massage therapist, everybody doing a workout. So we started off well with the team bonding. Also, we do have a WhatsApp group. I think that's very vital to just put things in place so players will know what's going on. But as I said before, the restrictions are lifted, so players are able to walk around now, and the team room is always there. So like, if there's a meeting or what's not, we will gather.
Well, what are the meals like down there compared to the UK? Do you choose what you want, or are you given what's there?
In the UK, it was different. We couldn't choose. They tried to provide a Caribbean chef for us who prepared meals daily. Here is different, where they sent out menus for players to take what they want. They give a few options, and then you just put it back by the door, whatever the case may be, and then you will get what you asked for at lunch or dinner. But no, the restrictions have lifted. The options have opened up a bit more in terms of like the sushi bar downstairs. There's a cafe and what's not. So players could go and get a sub, a snack. So it's a bit easier. The menu has opened for room service as well, so players could order stuff, what they need, anything they need that's on the menu.
All right. Well, I think at this time it's good to bring Sir Raghunath in. You've never been in a bubble, Mr. Raghunath. Have you been?
Sometimes I think I am, but fortunately not in the kind that these guys are in.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty tough there. Very, very tough indeed. Johnny, you heard that. These guys are saying it's very tough. Johnny Graves, CEO of Cricket West Indies. Good evening to you, Johnny. Did you hear Kyle Mayers, and did you make any notes? Johnny? Where is Johnny Green?
I heard Carl. Yeah, look, it's difficult playing bar secure cricket. It really is.
Very, very, very.
And these environments that the players are in, especially for the guys like Carl and others that have been in England for 7 weeks, to then almost, you know, after a weekend at home, have to go straight into another sort of biosecure environment. It's very tough for the players. But as he rightly said, this is their profession. And everyone's been very professional, keeping to the protocols. And so far, we've got, you know, all the games, back being played live and everyone's safe.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, Johnny, we know you don't have a lot of time, so we're not going to keep you too much longer, really. Can you bear with us for just a minute? The news coming out today, Johnny, our women are going to England.
Yeah, absolutely delighted to be in a position to announce today that we're going. It's, I'll be honest, it's been quite frantic in the last few days. We got the call from England less than 2 weeks ago saying they just heard from South Africa that they were unable to travel and weren't going to get the permission from their government to leave South Africa. Could we possibly come in their place? And as I said, for the last 10 days, we've been scrabbling to get everything in place. Obviously, first and foremost, same as the men, you know, what are the medical protocols? What is the plan for the women? How can we get them all into one destination and over to the UK safely? How can we ensure and guarantee their safety whilst they're there? They've got exactly the same biosecurity plan as the men had. The only difference being they'll be in Derby, where the Pakistan players were for their preparation camp, and also England women were there about 2 weeks ago for a camp. So Derbyshire is very similar to Old Trafford and the Rose Bowl in Southampton. So there's a hotel on site. They'll have use of the ground exclusively along with the indoor cricket skill if they need it. Mm-hmm. And the gym and the hotel for 2 weeks. Then England will join about a week before the first game. And then, yeah, we're going to be playing five T20 internationals, which are all going to be live on TV. And on the Saturday, which is the third T20, that's also going to be live on the BBC, on BBC One, on a Saturday evening. So for women's cricket to get those sorts of audiences will be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yes, Johnny. Just give us a little bit of interruptions. I think maybe Kenny Benjamin is his big Mercedes there. Kenny, I think we're just hearing you a little bit there. But what about the arrangements financially? Is it similar to the men? We're going to make some money from this this time, Johnny?
It's similar to the men in as much as the ECB have said that they understand the financial position that we're in and have agreed to pick up all the costs. So this provides us really with the best opportunity for us to restart our women's program with obviously Guyana and Trinidad borders shut. Getting the women together has been impossible. So they haven't been training since March, since they returned from the World T20 in Australia. And this provides us with an opportunity to have 3 weeks of training camp prior to a couple of weeks worth of games and playing five international T20. So it really has kickstarted our women's program, which we've been, you know, really trying to do. And it's great that it's come together, and the players, some of the players will then go to the Women's Big Bash. Some, I'm sure, will be invited to the IPL exhibition game. And we hope that obviously the situation here in the Caribbean from a logistics point of view around regional travel and open borders and no quarantines will be sooner rather than later. And therefore we'll be able to get the women's program back at regional and international level. Certainly that's the plan. But Andrew, as you know, women's cricket is not as commercially evolved and developed as the men's game. So this isn't a case of saving England in terms of their broadcast revenues. This is very much England trying to restart their women's programs with international games and us doing exactly the same. So it's not a case of us helping England or saving England from a commercial point of view. This is really an opportunity that's come our way because of the fact that India and South Africa couldn't tour. And as I said, we've done everything we possibly could to get all the logistics in place as quickly as we possibly could. And, I just want to thank our medical team and cricket logistics team, because it's been, you know, a big ask to get everything together, because these things are highly complicated, especially with COVID-19. And the ECB, again, have been brilliant in providing us all the information and, as I said earlier, covering all the costs. So, it was too good a cricket opportunity, really, for us to turn down.
People are saying, Johnny, that we're going, but people are not coming to the Caribbean. Is it possible, Jason Holder suggested that perhaps the England men could have come here, reciprocal tour. They're going, yes, but no one is coming. We got to make some money, Johnny, in the Caribbean. You agree?
Yeah, we have. Obviously, you know, we were due to have New Zealand and South Africa here this summer, but obviously due to COVID-19 and the border restrictions that I just spoke about in South Africa and the same in New Zealand and sheer distances make chartering flights. Again, the women are chartering across the Atlantic. You know, that's just not something that we can do or makes any of our tours financially viable outside of an India series or an England series. Clearly, England are playing in their summer, but we're in regular talks with England. I don't think our relationship has obviously ever been as strong or as close as it has been over the last few months, and I think this is a, you know, another demonstration of that partnership. And we're in a good conversations with England about how they can assist West Indies cricket in the future, how they can help us address some of the imbalances of world cricket that I spoke about last week on the show. And look, I think this is another really positive move by us and by the England Wales Cricket Board. It demonstrates a great partnership that we have there, and clearly we'll be looking to ensure that the ECB can continue to support us in a similar way over the next few years. This isn't a short-term thing. We're taking very much a long-term view on it. And I can assure you that the relationship and partnership has never been better, and we fully expect that to assist us in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring Kenny Benjamin, and we've got Shiv Raghunath as well. I note with interest that our men, Kenny, went to England. Our women are going now. No one is coming here. Does that concern you, Kenny?
Well, in a way, it concerns me because we're not making money. But I do understand what Johnny's saying. Obviously, some of the governments around the world are not maybe as lenient as us. Probably they have good financial backup, so they're paying their players well. But we have to get the opportunity to get our players so they can make some money as well. I would love to see some teams come in here. But under the circumstances, we're sort of between a rock and a hard place. We can keep our players here and they earn 50% of their monthly contract, or we can get them out in a safe environment and they earn a decent living and still being safe. You know, I think it is a very tricky situation. We just have to try and continue, like Johnny said, to keep talking to these other countries and see how they can assist. But what I want Johnny to keep in the back of his mind, if and when things get back to normal, they owe us. You understand? They would owe us, because what we did, sending our players out, and I understand the tour to England was the most watched series in Test history. Yes. And so England should keep in the back of their mind that they owe Windies cricket a big favor, maybe a couple of millions, maybe down the road. Johnny, help us out.
Look, I think England recognize the lengths that we and the players have gone to assist them this summer. I'm absolutely confident that it will be repaid over the next few years. When England come here, it's a hugely special tour, not just for England fans coming to enjoy everything that the Caribbean affords, but also for the region in terms of economic impact. And when we host England, we want to have, you know, full crowds, we want to have full hotels and bars and restaurants with England fans. So look, I don't think we need to rush anything. I think that we want to have and continue to have really positive talks with England, and Kenny's absolutely right. We know that we've helped them hugely, and that it would have been very easy for us to say no, sorry, we can't tour, it's too difficult, too challenging. But then, as Kenny also says rightly, that then our players wouldn't have played any cricket and they wouldn't have earned any match fees. So, you know, we're a cricket organisation. We've got to get cricket on. In the Caribbean at the moment, we've got cricket back. We're the first, region to get a sort of global T20 event going in the Caribbean Premier League. As I said last week, you know, that generates $1.9 million to our players alone in match fees. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to get cricket on. And as I said, you know, I fully expect and certainly have been reassured in all the conversations that I have with ECB. They know that we've helped them and we've got a strong partnership, and I'm sure that they will reciprocate in the future.
Suraj, you've heard Johnny, you've heard Kenny, and you've also heard young Kyle Mears. We want to talk a little bit to Kyle Mears about the Tridents very soon. Let's go to you, Suraj Raghunath. We are going, but people are not coming. Does that concern you, Mr. Raghunath?
Not particularly at this time. I think all precautions need to be taken. And I can understand the situation. It's not a normal situation. And I just think we need to be a little patient and see how things are. At least our players are getting the opportunity to play. And I think that is very important, whether or not they are in a bubble like they are here for the CPL, or as they would have gone to England, and now the women are getting an opportunity to go. The restrictions in the Caribbean is a totally different thing, with governments scattered across the region all having different regulations in place and agendas at the same time. I think it's easier for our players to be playing away from home at this point in time than for us to be accommodating visitors. So I guess in time, those things will repay itself. I'm just happy that at least we are trying to get accustomed to this new normal and trying to live in some way to get accustomed to the fact that COVID is going to be around for a long time, and that life has to resume some measure of normalcy amidst all the protocols and so on. So at least that is a step in the right direction to at least have cricket going on, whether it's here or internationally, but we are involved, and I think that's important.
Yeah, and Andrew, just to put that in context to you and your listeners, you know, to get players out at the moment from Guyana and Trinidad, sending private planes, you're looking at in excess of $100,000 just to get the players out of those countries. Mm. So, you know, unless we can borrow your private jet, Andrew, and you can donate that and loan that to Cricket West Indies, playing home cricket is going to be enormously challenging logistically, and also significantly expensive, or more expensive than it normally is. So they're the challenges that we face. But as I said, you know, to have the CPL going now, it's the first T20 sort of league back at the world stage. And as, you know, Carl Mayer says, you know, the complications of having multiple players and multiple teams, you know, it's much more straightforward when you've just got two teams to look after. When you've got six teams, plus you've got international players from all over the world, it's a huge logistical challenge, and one which I think we should all, you know, applaud the CPL and the organisers for getting it on, and the Trinidad government who have also been hugely supportive. So, you know, cricket at the moment under COVID-19 is very, very complicated. It's very, very expensive, and you can't take any shortcuts, because player safety, the safety of the, you know, of wherever you're hosting cricket from a community perspective has to be first and foremost at the front of your minds. And so there are no shortcuts at the moment with COVID-19 cricket, and we've got to do everything we can to make sure that when we host cricket, that we can afford to do so, and that we can ensure player safety. And as I said, so far so good from a CPL point of view. And, you know, look, you know, I think probably since March, when COVID-19 curtailed all cricket around the world, West Indies have probably now played more cricket than anyone else. We would have played a full men's test tour. We've got our vibrant domestic T20 league going, and our women about to go and play the first international games back since the World Cup in Australia. So I think on that basis, we're doing okay from a cricket point of view, and hopefully commercially we can get some wins off the field, and as Kenny says, get everyone back on full pay as soon as we can.
Final question to you, Johnny. We're joined by Ian Bradshaw as well. Just to switch the conversation a bit, what's the latest with young Quinton? I note in the chat, our big cricket chat, the whole subject again came with this unfortunate situation with young Quinton. Well, I mean, she's not playing any cricket. There's some talk that West Indies have not supported her as much as it should be. What is the latest with this young lady? Can you tell us before you go?
Yeah, I reached out to her directly on Friday. We haven't spoken to her or her legal representatives for over a year now. We are waiting for them to respond to our written communication from February 2019. But I spoke to her. She confirmed that she would be happy to speak on a without prejudice basis with myself and her legal representatives, and we've been on email this week with her legal representatives, and also Wayne Lewis from WIPA. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a call on it next Monday, and look, we hope that on the back of that conversation and that dialogue has restarted, that we can resolve the situation as quickly and as amicably as we possibly can.
All right. Johnny, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much.
All
Cheers,
right.
guys.
Wonderful. All right. Now, gentlemen, the question I've got for you, the CPL. It's I note with interest that Jason Hall is saying that the pitches have contributed to the small scores. Maybe we can start with you, Suresh Raghunath. You're there in Trinidad and Tobago. How has the CPL gone so far in your view? And the general question, is it helping West Indies cricket? Let's go to you, Mr. Raghunath, to start the ball rolling on CPL.
Well, firstly, let me say that just having cricket in Trinidad at this point in time is a big plus. It's been raining consistently. The amount of rain that we've had in the last month or so has been enormous. Mm. And just to have cricket played, and you know, we're fortunate that not many of the games have been washed out or anything like that. A couple may have been rain affected. But, you know, we are very fortunate. The fact that there is so much of rain, obviously, is going to impact the preparation of the pitch, because it has to be covered so very often. And you will expect that with the amount of rain in the air, preparation is going to be taking a long time. And then with matches being so tightly packed day after day, you would expect that with all the factors into consideration, that pitches are going to be a little bit slow. And that would also contribute. So the other factor is that players have not played cricket for a while, and it's taking them some time to also adjust the conditions as well. So hence, all of these things are contributing to the relatively low scores that we are seeing. But what we have also seen, however, that in spite of the low scores, the matches are still quite competitive, which is quite good indeed. Mm-hmm. In regards to the question about how CPL is contributing to West Indies cricket, I think West Indies, we've won two T20 World Cups, right? And I think the fact that we've been able to have this tournament and have foreign international players be part of the tournament in itself is a plus. I think in itself, it in terms of the standard of play, I think it's higher now than it would have been had we still been playing as individual territories. And the learning process, the learning curve with our players, more players have been exposed, younger players are being able to play in different islands with new players, you know, involved. I think all of that is contributing to the maturity of players as well. So I think as far as T20 cricket is concerned, CPL has definitely helped West Indies cricket in that regard. And I think too, the fact that players have been able to benefit financially from CPL more than they would have had we been playing as individual territories is another plus in itself. I might have some personal issues with CPL from off the field in terms of what West Indies cricket actually gets out of it from a financial standpoint and what we have given up as a board in order to have CPL. But as far as cricket is concerned, I think it has benefited West Indies cricket quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Yeah, well, I have to give them CPL props for having the first tournament under these difficult conditions, especially since things are really heating up with the second wave in Trinidad. To have been able to run the tournament without a COVID-19 incident has been a big credit to them. Yes, the matches have been competitive. You can see that the COVID-19 break has had a deleterious or bad effect on many of the players, because even some of the key players, you can see they're unfit. And also, I think one of the disturbing things about the learning curve and getting people to fitness is that a lot of our big stars and a lot of the key members of our T20 squad seem to be underperforming and not being stars of the league so far as it's gone. You know, you think of a player like a Brandon King or Hayden Walsh or an O'Shane Thomas, they seem to be on the fringes of the tournament. And in some cases, like O'Shane Thomas only played a few matches. But, you know, it's good that the tournament has got off to a start, and I'm hoping that it will improve and, you know, we'll get more runs and certainly we'll we'll have a good finish to the tournament.
Mm. Let's introduce Ian Bradshaw. Now, Ian, I know your time is limited this evening. Good evening to you, sir. And Kyle Mirrors, I'm going to have you next, of course, Kyle, to tell, I'm sure a lot of Barbadians are wondering what's gone wrong with the Trident this year. But your overall assessment, Ian Bradshaw, former West Indies all-rounder of the CPL.
Good night, Andrew.
Good night to you, Ian.
Good night to all of your many listeners.
Many, growing
every week, I understand.
According to Dr.
Ford, you're going to renegotiate a wonderful contract next time.
I want to.
the CPL, you know, as everyone is saying, it's been played under some very challenging circumstances, and it speaks to our ability as a region to be able to confront these challenges from a sporting perspective. I think that we gained a lot of confidence having staged that World Cup in 2007. I think that there's a belief since then that we can put on tournaments of international standard. And I think this is one of the legacy benefits of that. In terms of how the tournament has gone, you can see that the teams have been impacted in terms of lack of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not sure of their tactics, and the execution of those tactics seem to be a situation where they're still trying to find their way, so to speak. But like in many of these tournaments, we only tend to remember the winners. And the truth of the matter is that you can play as good as you want at the start of the tournament. It's what you do at crunch time. And come September 8th, when the semifinals are playing, that's when you got to be on your game. So I'm hoping that as the tournament progresses, the standard of play will pick up. Mm-hmm. As the doctor said, it's obviously that there are varying levels of fitness amongst the players, which is a bit concerning because you still expect that players being professionals should keep themselves at a certain standard. But I understand that everyone's situation in the territories may not have been the same. And we just hope that as the tournament goes on, you will definitely see some improved performances.
All right. Let's go to Kyle Mirrors after him. We're going to go to Kenny Benjamin, the Lions as well. And Kyle, Barbados Tridents, the defending champions, you've not had a pretty good start. Can you explain why, Kyle?
Just like any other T20 team, we didn't get any momentum. I mean, we won the first game,
mm-hmm.
Then got a rain affected game, and then lost the other two. I just think that, as Ian said, we're still trying to find the right formula. I mean, we just came together as a team. We had not a lot of preparation, not making excuses or whatever, but at the end of the day, everybody can see that we're still trying to formulate the best 11, the best plans going forward. I just think it's a matter of time before we get going. We're not playing bad cricket per se. It's just down to that execution. I think we just need to nail the last nail in the coffin. I mean, like today, we had a great opportunity to win the game,
mm-hmm.
and we let slip. But it's not to say we're getting beat badly or whatever the case may be. We have a good side. So it's just to get our momentum. And as Ian rightfully said, it doesn't matter at the beginning of the tournament when it comes to crunch time. I think once we regain the momentum with the few games that we got back to back now, if we could get some wins the next six games, if we could get at least 5 wins and qualify to the semifinals, I think we'd be in good stead.
Mm-hmm. The pitches, how have they been? Hard to bat on, Kyle?
The first game, it wasn't too bad. I mean, it could have hit through the line in the ball or whatever the case may be. But as games go on, I don't think the groundsmen or whoever's in charge, the pitchers,
mm-hmm.
used them good. I think they should have rotated the pitches a bit more, because mm-hmm. I thought that we played two games on one pitch. Mm. And I thought the pitch got tired in a sense.
Okay.
The ball kept low and was slow. But today, first game at Queen's Park, we was expecting a bit more pace with the grass we saw on it and the hardness. But again, it still played low and slow. I don't know if it's lack of preparation because of COVID or whatever the case may be. But as professionals, we need to adapt, as Ian said. And it just takes time, though. At the end of the day, you just can't come out and just start swinging like normal T20. It calls for a lot more, especially in the middle overs, where teams have fell down a lot during this CPL so far. Power plays were great, but then after the power play with the fielders out and the spinners coming on, is where teams struggle. So it's just to get that right, a little smarter body in the sense to knock it around in the middle and then try to blast at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not minefields. You can't say pitches are that terrible that you can't adapt and score runs on them.
Mm-hmm. And how, Kenny, Benji, you're not a big CPL man, huh? Is that right, Kenny? Kenny?
No, I'm not, Andrew, but friend of mine, your good friend, Denmore. You remember Denmore?
Yeah, call good old Denmore, of course. Denmore Roberts, the head teacher.
Denmore has said that the reason why we're not seeing the quality in CPL, because nobody's watching and the players are still trying to entertain a full stadium.
Oh, really? You do you believe that, Kenny?
Yeah, he said that. Yes, he said he has been watching, and the people who are watching via television and other media, they want to watch cricket, not the in and out possession.
Oh.
And so he reckoned the players need and play cricket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. But I know
the one.
Yes, Kenny.
That's the one.
Kenny.
Some cricket. Yes.
Yeah. We're not hearing you very well, Kenny. There's something wrong with your internet. Are you driving?
I'm still here, Andrew.
Yes, continue.
He said the one person who is playing some good cricket is Roston Chase, and he's doing well.
Yes, yeah. Are you surprised, though, that Roston Chase has done so well? I know that Dr. Ford has got his stats. Are you surprised that he's done so well, Kenny?
Not.
All right, we seem to be having a little bit of a technical challenge with you, Kenny. I don't know why, but maybe we can come back to you a bit later on. In terms of...
Not at all.
Kenny? All right. Okay. Let's try and solve that technical stuff there with Kenny, and we can try and come back to him. Just before we go to a commercial break, let's go to you, Suresh Raghunath. Is there a great deal of interest in the competition in Trinidad and Tobago?
Andrew, I lost you there. We had some clash in the broadcast for a second there. Could you repeat the question?
I don't know what Kenny's doing. It seems as if he's in a big Mercedes in the back. Maybe he's traveling from Nevis up to the airport, up to Coolidge. But, I mean, we seem not to be getting him.
I'm actually going to my program, Andrew, so I'm on the move.
Oh, so what time does your program start? All right. Okay. Well, he's on the move. But let's come to you now, Suresh Raghunath. The interest is high there in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes. Definitely, the public needed something to be of a distraction with the rising situation here with COVID, and I think today we may have clocked up another 150 people. So it's very concerning. So this is, something for us to be distracted with. And I think it's good distraction. The cricket has been good. And we need to say, thanks to guys like Kyle, who has been creating some form of entertainment for us as well. And, I personally want to say congrats to Kyle Myers. I've been following him from, early on. He plays cricket in Trinidad as well for Clark Road, a club that I played for as well. And, I'm just enjoying his progress and seeing how he's maturing and developing as a cricketer and really fulfilling the talent that we know that he has. I like the fact that he's been batting the way he has and been, very dangerous. He started well today, but, didn't carry on for much longer. But generally, I think this is a good distraction for the people of Trinidad and Tobago, and I think for the region. that you know, we could still see something happening amidst all the lockdown, because Trinidad right now and Tobago is on a bit of a lockdown again. So, you know, all of that is helping whilst we're at home. Our life has changed so much. I'm at home every day. I'm working from home as well. So all of this helps as well.
Mm. All right, we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, Dr. Ford, I know you got a question for your good friend Kyle Mayers. And, of course, we're going to open the lines as well. We also want to go to Jamaica and talk to Orville Higgins. As you know, Usain Bolt tested positive. We understand that Raheem Sterling was at that party as well, and possibly Christopher Gayle. We know that Chris Derin, who has been on the show before, he tested positive as well. So the big guns getting COVID-19, which is most unfortunate. All right, this is Mason and Guest. I am Andrew Mason with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got on Zoom Kyle Mayers from the Barbados Tridents. We also have Suraj Raghunath, the former Trinidad and West Indies cricketer and former Barbados and West Indies all-rounder Ian Bradshaw on Zoom. And as I said, I'm Andrew Mayers along with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. Doctor, any questions for your good friend Kyle or even Ian or Suraj?
Kyle and Suraj, I know that Kyle had mentioned that there's some individuals involved in the CPL that would have to go home and come back. And when you think about the escalations that are occurring in Trinidad and Tobago, in spite of things going well in the CPL, we wonder what level of exposure, what sort of jobs would these individuals be doing that may have to go home and come back,
mm-hmm.
even though they may be insulated from you. So either Kyle or Suraj, are they members involved that go home and come back that are involved in the CPL?
Kyle, are you aware?
I can't really answer the question per se. I could tell you that what I recognize is that some of the bus drivers are not normal bus drivers. I think guys from the BDF are driving the buses for sure. Some army guys. So I guess they are quarantined in their in the base or whatever the case may be. I'm not sure about the hotel staff. CPL hasn't said anything about those. I don't know if they're staying here or not. I don't know if they go home and come back. But there's some suits that I see they walk around in. Mm. I mean, they look very uncomfortable, some big white suits.
Oh, dear.
I don't know the situation. But at the end of the day, they're trying their best, as Johnny said. It's tough. I mean, having all the teams here at one hotel is going to be very difficult. But I can't answer for sure. I can't be positive to let you know if the staff is going home and coming back, or whatever the case may be. I don't know if they're staying somewhere else, quarantined, and they come here. But for sure, we recognize and they ask the bus drivers, some of them are from the Army.
From the Army?
Okay.
Mm. Suraj, do you know about this?
I'm sorry, I cannot add to that. I don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue. All right. Okay. I just get the feeling, though, Doc, just before you come back to Kyle. Kyle, are you bored, though? I mean, do you feel as if you want to come home? Is that a fair question?
Not really. Cricket has started. Maybe before, with the 7 days when I was locked in the room, I was thinking about coming home.
But
the cricket started. Try to focus on cricket, and the cricket is coming so fast. I mean, like, we play today, we got a game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's no time for recovery, no time for practice, whatever the case may be. So being bored is not an option right now. It's just about playing cricket and recovering as fast as possible, especially with the outfields here in Trinidad.
Yeah.
They're kind of soft, and it's very tough with legs and what's not. So in terms of being bored, not so at all. The team always together as well. So when I finish up here, I'll go and meet the guys. Watch some basketball and just chill out and talk some cricket.
Interesting. Ian Bradshaw, you've never been in this situation before, by the way, and we're going to go to Jamaica and talk to Orville Higgins, who's on the line very soon. Ian, this is very tough, apparently.
Yeah, it'll be challenging. And you have to think of guys such as Kyle and Jason and those who were in a similar bubble, maybe not as stringent, but certainly They were isolated for a couple of months in England, and to now transfer that to to another situation. I mean, it speaks to the fact that, as Kyle said, they are professionals. And sometimes as professionals, you have to adapt to the circumstances to fulfill your obligations. This is uncharted territory, Andrew, and we all hope that this year will be the sole year that this will happen. But hopefully we'll take the positives out of this and see how we adapt. And the timing of the games, you're interested in as well. Obviously, you're trying to cater to the overseas markets, the 10 o'clock game most likely,
right.
Trying to cater to the Indian market, and maybe the later game, trying to tap into the English market. So, you know, we've seen some changes in the CPL, and all I can hope is that, I said, that the product that we continue to put out there is one that they can build on. They say that they don't expect that they'll make a profit this year. They call it an investment year, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we deliver a cricketing product that can be marketed next year.
All right. Stay with us, Ian. I know you're going to leave us pretty soon. Let's go, gentlemen, to Jamaica, the land of wood and water, and talk to the noted journalist Orville Higgins. He's not on Zoom. He's on the telephone. Orville, good evening to you. You're an esteemed company. You've got Dr. Andrew Ford. You've got Ian Bradshaw, your good friend. You've got Suraj Raghunath. And, of course, you've got Kyle Mears, who's going to play for the Talawas next year. How are you, my friend Orville?
Not too bad, Andrew. Big up to you and big up to your guests as well.
All right. Talk to us. Usain Bolt, I mean, testing positive there for COVID-19, that would have certainly caused a great stir in your country.
Yeah, it's on all the discussion programs. It's one of those things that is big on the sports discussion programs, but being Bolt, it's also big on the current affairs discussion program. So everybody's talking about Bolt at the moment. And most of the people are kind of giving it to the Honorable Usain Bolt, felt that it was a little bit irresponsible of him to be having a party. Videos have been circulating. There was very little mask, very little social distancing.
Mm.
And, you know, the general sentiment is that he was a little careless.
Mm. And the police are investigating. Raheem Sterling was there as well from Man City. Is that true? Mr. Sterling?
Yeah, there were pictures of Raheem Sterling and Leon Bailey, who left from Bayer Leverkusen.
Right.
And one of the things that's making big discussion here is that people are questioning whether Raheem Sterling flying in from England and Leon Bailey flying in from Germany
mm-hmm.
would have done the automatic 2 weeks quarantine period, because they would have played in Europe around about 2 weeks or less. And one of the arguments making the rounds is that when people are flying into Jamaica, the protocol is that you have to do a 2-day quarantine
right
before you are allowed to, you know, mix and mingle with the general populace.
Mm-hmm.
And these two were seen at the party. And the question is, were they in the island? Another big issue.
Was Christopher Gayle there? There was some talk that he might have been there, or that can't be confirmed. All right, well, we seem to have lost Orville Higgins. Let's try and get him back. But this certainly, it doesn't inspire confidence, Dr. Ford.
Yeah, we have a big contact tracing job ahead there for the Jamaican health authorities. But at least with the videos, they should be able to keep track of all the individuals and their...
So, Reg, you weren't invited to that party and you declined, did you?
Yeah, because of COVID. That party was too fast.
I like that one. No, Kyle. Kyle, we want to come back to you here. What about the overall standard? I mean, the tridents have been down. I mean, they've got the ability, certainly, to certainly come back. But from what you've seen so far, what about the overall standard? Are you happy with it, Kyle?
I mean, I could say yes and no.
Mm.
As Ian said, you know, people coming off and not playing cricket. I find that the players who were playing cricket are actually players that are doing great. Like Roston, he just came from England and he was playing international cricket. Jason, same for us. They're batting good and they're performing well. Players that have not been playing or haven't had the chance to practice as much probably just need a few games to get into the groove. So at the beginning, you had a few bowlers being wary, guys bowling ball doing like say a lot of ways, you know, then kind of things could happen. But only match practice, as you can see, Haider's not really finding a goal for us.
No, no, not at all.
He was MVP last season.
Mm.
So it could be that lack of cricket and what's not. So I'm not saying that the quality is poor, because there's good quality still. I mean, majority of the Afghanistan players, they're performing well, especially spinners. They don't look short of work at all. So at the end of the day, it's still tough. A tough tournament, especially with the conditions as well. So, yes and no. I don't think it's poor quality at all. I think it's just a matter of just the players getting better as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm. I see. Doc?
Yeah, it's interesting that we're going to lose some of those Afghanistan players just before the end of the tournament. Yeah, it seems like every year in the CPL, we do have some international players, but there's a lot of movement. We don't seem to have a window that we can keep those players here, and teams are kind of inconvenienced by the deficits that they cause. You know, that's something that I've noticed. But Kyle, after coming from the bubble in the UK and being here in Trinidad, do you think you've been able to maintain the fitness that you had after those many weeks of training? With the first team in England?
Not at all. I've been speaking to the trainer, and I was telling him, you know, we need to get some gym sessions and what's not. But he actually advised me to just play cool, because at the end of the day, the cricket is coming so fast. As I spoke to you guys earlier, before the restrictions were lifted, we had some Zoom sessions, which were great, you know. Almost our workout on Zoom. So those sessions were great leading up to the tournament. But when it got to business time, time for working out and stuff, I mean, guys find time to do a little 20-minute workout, whatever the case may be. But to match up this and England is way different. I mean, the gym was unavailable for a while here. It's only now with the restrictions lifted. You can use the gym freely, but before it was teams had certain times, and it was not one, it was not two teams, like it was it like what it was in England is a whole bunch of players here, so like it was different. So gym time was restricted, but now the tournament is going on, it's lifted, but because of recovery, it's not much doing like England.
Very interesting.
So the players weren't subjected to that, to the type of testing that you'd... I know we've talked about beep tests and other testing. When you joined the franchise, did you have to undergo some sort of assessment to determine your fitness level, or you just got together and started to play cricket after
acclimatized? There was no assessment. I guess the trainer... But I've watched the players who did the training. I thought that was crucial, the Zoom training. Everyone had to keep on the camera so that the trainer would get an idea to see where each player is at. Mm-hmm. I mean, from that, I guess he took his assessment. But in terms of doing yo-yo tests and what's not, no, we didn't do that here at all.
Oh, I see. No yo-yo test. That's interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. So Rich, based on that, you're not surprised that some of the players are unfit? So Rich?
Well, you know, you take everything into consideration, the lockdown in the Caribbean
right.
Over the last few months, the, you know, the restrictions across the region, it would have been difficult in that regard. However, I don't know to what extent players would have taken the initiative to become creative and look after their physical well-being as professional athletes. And I don't think often enough our players are spending enough time in terms of their personal fitness outside of the game in itself. And you look at a lot of players, you tend to, they look a little bit pudgy around the midsection.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we've seen that.
It's as a result of being indoors for considerable period of time. So you know what I can do.
Yes. Well, I know that Ian Brasher doesn't have that problem. And Orville Higgins, who rejoins us, he's not going to be with us for too much longer because I know that he's trying to follow that story for his big, for his very, very big program there on KLS Radio. Orville, just before you go, the Usain Bolt thing certainly is broken and Raheem Sterling. But what about the overall interest in Jamaica as far as the CPL is concerned? Lots of interest there? Orville? Do we have Orville Higgins on the line? Okay, seems as if we're having a bit of a challenge there with him. Ian Bradshaw, so you would say CPL cricket is good for the Caribbean?
It is. It's a good product. It allows us to, from a cricketing standpoint, prepare our, what a couple of years ago was our strongest form of the game. We are still defending champions of the 2020 tournament. And it is important that we go and give a good account of ourselves at the next T20 World Cup when that comes off. So this is a barometer for which the selectors can see players playing under pressure. As it speaks financially, as Suraj would have spoken to it, we probably have not maximized the benefits that the board could have realized, but that is water under the bridge right now. And it is important that we create a product that can continue to grow and can provide some opportunities for so many of our young cricketers, and also opportunities for our coaches and so forth. If there's one aspect that I would like to see great opportunity is for the ancillary staff around the cricket to get more opportunities. The commentary team, for example, I would be willing to get more of a Caribbean percentage, a stronger Caribbean percentage in that mix. And also, from a coaching standpoint, we must ensure that our coaches get that exposure, not just necessarily the coaches that are involved in the CPL, but I'm hoping that our local coaches get an opportunity to sit and get some workshops with the international coaches to understand how those international coaches prepare for our T20 cricket, because there must be a transition of knowledge back into our system. Otherwise, we are missing a wonderful opportunity.
All right. Well, Ian, I want to thank you for certainly coming through and talking to us. I know that you just had half an hour with us and you went slightly over that, so we are happy. And I'll send the check in the mail for you, Ian. Very, very good contribution. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Andrew, and all the best to you.
All right. Okay. All right. So we still got Kyle Mears and Suraj Raghunath. Wayne Lewis is going to be joining us pretty soon, hopefully. We also have Orville Higgins, and you can also make a call, 434-1790. Do we have him online? Hello, Orville?
Yes, Andrew, I'm
all right. Here. Okay, good. There's a little crackling there in your phone. Maybe you need to change it, Orville, with the big monies that you make at KLS Radio.
Oh, Lord. is this any better?
I think it is. Is it better? Yes, okay. All right. The CPL, has it taken off in Jamaica? Are they excited and watching the television and supporting the Talawas?
Well, we've been starved of sports like most people around the world, Andrew. So, yeah, the CPL is being followed. And, yeah, people taking a keen interest in it. Remember, the Jamaican election comes up in another few weeks as well, in what should be a very interesting race. So that is sharing space and length time. But, yeah, the CPL is causing a buzz.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed. Your general election still on?
Yeah, well, so far as we know, yes, it is, for September the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Any possibility of a postponement? I mean, you're getting cases like crazy there in Jamaica.
Right. Well, I'm understanding that there may be a decision tomorrow to determine if there should be a postponement. I understand that the Constitution allows for a 30-day postponement for natural disasters and so on. So there might be the case for it, but we haven't heard anything official yet.
I see. And talking about Usain Bolt, of course, Chris Darren also as well contracted. He's been on our show. So the personalities, it's it's really a serious thing there in Jamaica. Bolt, Chris Darren, I mean, some big wigs.
The police commissioner as well.
The police commissioner as well. Oh dear.
So it's raging.
What is the mood like in the country with all these COVID cases?
Well, Andrew, how do I say it? No, I don't think that the Jamaican public was taking this thing as seriously as they should.
Oh dear.
I mean, despite the warnings, despite the repeated advice about the protocols, there are some people, and by no means everybody, but there are enough people who are just going about their daily business as if nothing is happening. There are parties where nobody is wearing a mask and people are all up over each other. So there's a section of the Jamaican public that hasn't taken this thing as seriously as they should. Maybe the fact that both got tested positive is, you know, in a little de facto way, probably a good thing. We expect both to recover. We are hoping so, for God's sake. But now that people see somebody as young and as strong and as fit and as healthy as both getting the COVID, maybe people will realize now that, listen, you can get it too.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Right.
Very, very scary the way things are happening. We're getting our second waves in the Caribbean. Orville, from what you've seen of the CPL, what do you think about the technical skill that's been shown with the cricket from our West Indian players thus far?
I don't know. It has been a very low scoring tournament. I'm just watching the Guyana Amazon Warriors as we speak getting bowled out for what is it? 109, 110, somewhere there.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
And in fact the game of the weekend they were all up for 118 and the Jamaican Tellers couldn't get it.
Well, we have gotten them out less than that this time around. let's hope. I just think that the I don't know what it is, Andrew. It has not been a high-scoring tournament by any means. The bowlers have been doing pretty well all around, but the batting generally has been very disappointing.
Final question before you go, Orville. Can CPL do more for cricket in the Caribbean? Are you disappointed? Started in 2013.
I was just having a discussion with some friends of mine, Andrew. I think that the West Indies board and the people who put on the CPL should have arranged, I don't know if it's too late, should have arranged for a quota of overseas players per team. I don't know why a team should be called the Jamaica Tallowers, for example, when at times you look on the field and there are less than half the team who are Jamaican. I think there should have been some kind of restriction. So let's say two overseas players per franchise and two regional players. But at any given point in time, you should have at least seven national on each team. So the Barbados Trident would have seven Bajans, and you could get four from everywhere else. Because while you want the entertainment and the biggest party in town and all that, you really want to develop cricketers in the West Indies. And if I'm disappointed about anything, is that I think we have an influx of foreigners. Why not necessarily big-name foreigners?
No.
To draw the attention and so on. And sometimes even at the expense of your own people. Jermaine Blackwood, for example, who came out of England on a relative high, having had an outstanding first-class season. Jermaine Blackwood has had to sit for three games before he's playing game number four today. And some of the people who were being played ahead of him are foreigners who you wonder, were they big names.
Mm.
So that's one of the things I think we should be looking at. Restricting, we want the foreigners, but we also want to play our own players. So, seven locals and four foreigners, I think, maybe the right balance.
Sure. Do you agree with that assessment from our good friend Orville Higgins in Jamaica?
Well, I can see the emotional attachment to West Indies cricket there from Orville. One can understand that. But this is franchise cricket. This is not national teams. Players have been paid. The teams have owners. And the owners are free to do what they want. And that's the commercial aspect of the sport that we have begun to play now. Whilst I understand the emotional attachment.
But can I say something quickly, though? All franchises must play an emerging West Indian player under 23 for, what, 5 of the 10 games?
Right.
Which means that there was some consideration given to developing West Indies cricket. So there is no law that says that the IPL organizers and the West Indies board couldn't come up with rules in the same way that they say each team must have an emerging Western Indian player. I mean, it's a matter of what is it you decide on. And while I understand the franchise system, the Western is unique. It's not like the IPL where it's a matter of states or provinces against each other. The Western is unique in the sense that these are territories, countries against each other. And I don't think that you should completely take away that inter-island rivalry, even with the franchise system. Mm-hmm. I understand the franchise system, but I think that you don't want to see a Jamaica Tala was playing a Barbados team with more Barbadians on the Jamaican team than on the Barbados team, for example. It takes away the competitive spectacle for me. And, you know, in the same way, like I said, that they wrote it into the rules that you must have young emerging West Indians on every team. I think that could have been written into the rules as well. Maybe it's too late, but, I would have preferred that.
Kyle, you agree with that?
Not really. As Raghunath said, it's franchise cricket, and it's a business, to be honest. I would think that West Indies should put on a different tournament if they're looking to develop players. It's going to be hard if owners wants to win. Mm. What's not? No owner is going to pay money for a team to develop. Owners paying money for performances, if you understand what he's saying. I could understand having Jamaicans playing for Jamaica or what's not. I think it's just similar to basketball. I don't think when Lakers playing everybody's from LA or whatever the case may be, it's just franchise. I do believe in development in our players and that we should get more opportunity. But having a restriction with the Jamaicans or Bajans being on one team, whatever the case may be, that still stops opportunity because, for instance, Barbados, we have a lot of players. So an event where only seven could play for Barbados, what he's going to do, watch the cricket. Mm-hmm. And he could go and get opportunity to go and play for another team. Like at Shamar Holder playing for St. Lucia, again, an opportunity. Right. Or Ross and Chase, who's from Barbados, that couldn't make the Trident's team that's going well right now. Mm-hmm. So,
well, he could make the Trident's team. Okay.
Well, he couldn't make anything, actually, because he didn't get picked up in draft.
Yeah, so. That's amazing. And now he's one of the star players, huh? Isn't that amazing?
But Andrew, I'm not advocating for a wholesale change, but wouldn't it look odd for the Jamaica Talawas to be playing without any Jamaican at all on the team?
Mm. Suresh,
and like I said,
Suresh, that's a fair retort.
I think the franchise is called the Jamaican Talawas. I remember, Andrew, like I said, it is written in the rules that you must have an emerging player on each team that plays 50% of the game. Mm. Which means that at the time when they were conceptualizing the IPL, the CPL, they recognized that you must do something to develop your own. Mm. And although owners want to win, no owner would be at an advantage or a disadvantage if the rules apply across the board. So rather than just go for foreigners for the sake of foreigners, you go for two or three named foreigners. Or if you can't get the high-profile international players, then you play your own. Mm. And because the playing field would be level for everybody, Jamaica would know that we only have two foreigners to get, Barbados, Trinidad. So no team would be at an advantage or a disadvantage. Mm. I don't have a problem if you have really good players coming in, but Jermaine Blackwood shouldn't be sitting down for the Jamaica Talawas while some no-name player with very little name is in the team ahead of him. I seriously have a problem with that.
Mm. Doc?
Yeah.
Well, we have to look at where and why CPL came about. Cricket West Indies, under the previous name and after the name change, unsuccessfully hosted tournaments in formats at a loss, including the prior T20 tournament. And so when they got someone to take it over and to develop the franchise system, it gave them an opportunity to make some money. And I know we've discussed if the $1 million per year or whatever the quantum is per year was sufficient, and maybe if they should have got a percentage of the gate or a percentage of the you know, the profit. Yes, we could look at that. But coming from a stage of a deficit every year to making a profit was a move forward. But the franchise is a new concept, and we've gone with the with the island system all before. And when we look at IPL, it's mostly players from India, but they may not all be from the same region in India. And they need the foreign players because it's an international tournament, and the TV rights, you must appeal to an international audience. We must look at, if you look at Blackwood, though, you must ask, ask yourself, why is it that in the... Why didn't someone pick Blackwood, even though he's an attack batsman? So I don't think it's really a fault of Jamaica. I think it's a fault of the franchise, the coaches and the owners not identifying players of talent in the West Indies that can play T20. We talked about Rashaan Primus the other day, and there are players that slip through the cracks. We talked about Kevin Stout years ago. There are players that just get overlooked. And I think that has to do with the local knowledge in the islands feeding into the franchises to tell them who they should pick up in the draft.
Doc, here's the point I'm making about the IPL.
Unfortunately, I have to leave the broadcast at this point in time.
Right. Okay. Well,
my apologies. Yeah. Thank you all very much.
We want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of your evening. All right. Yes.
And
yes.
All the best to you guys. Kyle, all the best in the remaining matches. Cheers.
Yes.
Right.
Thanks. Yeah, the point I'm making quickly, Andrew, is that the IPL has done a lot to preserve Indian players. Even when they go outside of India to get players, they're going for the very best players. The Chris Gayles, the Bravos, the Pollards, they are going for the true superstars in the other country. That's not what we are doing here in the CPL. 60%, 70% of the people who are playing in the CPL from overseas, the average man on the street don't know who they are. So they said the money-making value of foreigners is not a very strong argument, because people will come to Sabina. And I'm not asking for a wholesale change. The crowd at Sabina Park to watch CPL would still be the same crowd if you have only four foreigners per team. I'm not asking for a wholesale change. The IPL doesn't just get wholesale unknown, unnamed players to come into the IPL. You've got to be top of the pile. And they have asked their own players not to play anywhere else. I just feel we should protect our own. But Andrew, I will still have to run. Jamaica are off to a bad start. I don't know what Chadwick Walton can't lay bat on ball. He's out. We are now 6-1.
6-1. But just before you go, though, what's going wrong with the Talawas?
I don't know. We finished dead last year. And we are fourth at the moment. There's a Jamaican saying that we lick about with Talawa. Talawa meaning strong and good and proud. We may have to change the name. We probably shouldn't even be calling it Jamaica Talawas anymore, since the concept is you can bring in people from everywhere. It probably should be, I don't know, the globe trotting something.
All right. Well, let's hope you win the game there and live up to the name Talawas. And your national anthem, it says, stir response to duty's call.
All right. So it's a Blackwood coming at 3, which he should have been playing long ago.
All right. Good. All right. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to certainly try and get Wayne Lewis on the line. We got Wayne Simmons on the line as well. 4341790. You can certainly give us a call and participate. It's your time to get involved in the show as well. We got about half an hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Kyle Mears, and your call is 4341790. Emma, let's look and see what we have next. Yes, we got a commercial. All right. Maybe we should continue to monitor that game, Doc, and certainly get involved in that. The Talawas have not done very well so far. But, Kyle, it's good to have you on the show. And we're going to be actually talking about the Carlton T20 Classic very soon. And you should be involved in that. But as we invite you to call us, 4341790, the Tridents have started poorly. What would you have to do now, Kyle Mears, to get things going and possibly qualify and go on to win this thing?
I just think the most important thing for us is not to panic. As I told you before, we'll be playing
decent cricket, not the worst cricket. So it's just for us to build on what we have done so far. And I think we have a great squad. It's just to get the right formula and to get some momentum to go into the semi-finals and move from there.
Doc?
Yeah, well, Kyle, it's interesting that Barbados has actually scored the most runs by teams in the tournament, even though we perceive that the Barbados batting hasn't given us the scores that we'd like, even though the tournament is low scoring. But you've identified a few areas that have hindered us. One is Hayden Walsh's lack of performance thus far, and not being the player he was, especially when we came back home last year to Kensington. We may also look at Jason. Jason took about 12 wickets last year, and he's taken maybe two or three this year, even though he's bowling well and his economy rate is quite good. Ashley Nurse, who came on really strong in the end of the tournament when we moved to Trinidad and took a lot of wickets last year, has only bowled about 5 overs thus far. So the thing is, the bowling combinations, we have so many weapons. Do you think
weapons?
We're using our weapons the way that we
That's a strong word to use, Doc. Weapons.
Our bowling arsenal.
Okay.
To be honest, I spoke to the captain. We had a chat this afternoon. Mm. And to be honest, as a captain as well, it's tough. I mean, when you look around the field, there's so many different options.
Ooh.
It's just to get the right bowler on at the right time, I guess, to play as a matchup, you know? So if you have a left-hander at the crease and you know a bowler is good at left-handers, you will try to bring him on. I think that's the best way to go forward. But as I told you, we're just trying to find the right formula. Hayden has done great for Trinidad last year, being the MVP. So as captain too, you can't lose confidence in a player like that. Still have a given opportunity to try to prove himself and try to repeat what he did. So in a situation where you have Rashid Khan, probably one of the best T20 bowlers at the moment now in your side, and Hayden shadowing him, that could be a problem. I'm not sure. Just saying. And then you got options like Ashley, as you said, that haven't gotten the chance to bowl. Or other international players like Mitch, that haven't completed 4 overs and stuff. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of options, and as a captain, it could be confusing. It's just for us now to play the cricket as simple as possible. As I said, we had a chat, and that's the way we're looking to go forward, to play the cricket as simple as possible and try to put the right players in at the right time.
All right, stay with us. We're going to take some calls. Can we go and take one? 4341790. Hello, welcome to Mason and Guest.
Yes, good evening,
good
gentlemen.
Good evening to Randolph.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, and Dr.
Night.
Dr. Ford and Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me say, with your permission, to say to my two of my good fans, H and J.
Sure.
I'm on. Good, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the Trident, I'm a Trident out and out. Mm. I know we are a bit behind the 8 ball. My suggestion, I would think, to the guys, try to control hitting the ball through the air too often in the early part of the game. Try to keep the ball down. I think this is why I think that we are losing wickets too quickly and too cheaply by going through the air for the hero maximum. I'm not saying that is not important to get them when necessary. But if we play it along the ground, if we get 6-2s, it's the same thing as trying to give away a hand to get 2 6s. And I'm sure we must work our way up and try and get into the semifinals. This is the only way that we are going to have a chance. If we make the semifinals and we didn't even go forward to the finals, I think we would have achieved, we would have accomplished something from the position in which we are in now. But I would like the fellas to, you know, the ball, and you check the ball that's pitching outside the off stump. It don't make sense backing away and still trying to fetch the ball that is pitching further outside the off stump. Mm-hmm. Carry your left foot with you if you're going there. if it is if you're left-hander, or carry your right foot if you are right-hander when the ball is pitched wide. And I'm sure we should do well. But I am backing my team all the way to do continue to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing for tonight.
All
have
right.
a good evening.
Thank you very much indeed. We can take another call. We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Can I get the program, please?
You're very much in the program talking to your favorite cricketer in the world, Kyle Mears.
Yeah, Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Why up to now, Kyle Mears ain't getting a player yet? Why didn't he play any?
Who? Where?
In the CPL.
Kyle Mears? That's not true. He's played, he's played in all the matches. Where have you been watching?
But no, listen, Dan, what the Trinidadians telling me? They're calling Mears all sorts of things.
Oh, the Trinidadian Cup? This is radio or TV?
Radio.
Okay.
And TV too. Why
and
you
TV.
Understand?
Oh, what are they calling him? What are they calling him? I know in Jamaica they call him Myers.
I never care. Up to now, you don't know, but you know they ain't calling Mears that they're talking to you now. So that way, too, that he ain't play up to now.
All right, well, but I begin to wonder.
Hey, go on, boy.
All right. All right. 4341780. Can we take another call? We can. Keep the calls coming. Hello, welcome.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Listen, what happened at Barbers? Can I change anything?
Well, Kyle? Kyle?
I can't answer that. I'm not a captain. I'm not a coach. I'm not a selector. I can't really answer that.
Okay.
What do you suggest?
Shearhawk killed West Indies cricket and he killing the Barbies. This cricket here now, do?
Oh, dear me.
Shearhawk won't drop in.
You drop Shearhawk?
Yeah.
Mm. Doc, would you drop Shearhawk?
Every team needs an anchor and it's about roles. Shea comes in early. Shea knows he's to bat deep into the innings and turn over the strike. I just want Shea to try to turn over the strike more. And I think Randolph had a good point. I think that a lot of times some of our players have been caught in the deep. And these pitches are slow. And sometimes if you're hitting to the bigger side, you think you're going for six, but you're only going to get caught. But I think we have to preserve our wickets and really push harder in the back end of the 20 overs rather than trying to go for the maximum too early. But I think Shea has a specific role within the team. But if you look at the batting stats, Holder has the most runs, 101 runs, and Johnson Charles 115. And then Hope is probably next with 87.
What is the strike rate? What is the strike rate? What is the strike rate? I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
It is
95 points. Okay.
5.6.
I thought
for a guy that's an anchor, you would expect to go faster, but he does have to turn over some more. But I mean, he is making a contribution. But our innings tends to sputter at intervals, and I think that's something we have to work on. Even though, as I said, we scored the most runs for that amount of matches in the tournament.
All right.
So our bowling hasn't been able to defend.
Sure, hope Kyle wants some plugs, man. That Kyle Ferry.
Oh dear, but I you know I've argued for a long time that we're not strategic and we're gonna keep the calls going. You can certainly call us. Stay with us, Kyle Mears, who we got to introduce Wayne Simmons very very soon because we got the Carlton Classic and Kyle Mears is very much a Carlton man. I thought the game against the TKR having to get 185, you could not have opened with. I couldn't understand it. We got some big players in terms of getting runs, you know, and I would have preferred to have opened with someone else. I think they had the options and I couldn't understand. I mean, it's difficult on these pitches, 185. I would not have opened with him at all.
But Andrew, if you don't let Shea come in early, when is Shea going to come in? And TKR made most of their runs in the last five overs. So it was a matter, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. So most runs in a T20 is made in the early overs and then in the later overs.
But you could have him as a utility player, Doc. I mean, if you were trying to get 120, fine. But my argument was that we're missing you, Doc. Was it you're saying what?
If you're saying that Shea has a problem changing the gears and bats in one pace, if we get into trouble and then ask Shea to to score at 150, but it's not going to happen.
No, but this is the point I'm making, Doc. This is the point I'm making. He could be used as a utility player. If you have 120 to win, yes, fine. But 185, no. That's all I'm saying. Let's take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Andrew, good evening.
Good evening to you.
I joined the program late, so I don't know if this was discussed already.
No, fair enough.
So I want to know why Jason Holder would have given the youngster the last over.
That was interesting.
With 13 runs to go, and you got experienced bowlers there that can bowl.
Mm.
I want Kyle Mears or anybody to tell me.
Well, Kyle is there. Kyle, young man, the first match, bowled the last over. Was it been a little bit difficult for the young man? Kyle?
It was always going to be difficult for anyone, actually. I can't just say because he's young. Again, being a captain is always a difficult decision. Young was bowling well on the day. Yes, we had Raymond Reefer with overs left, but as a captain, he could go both ways. You probably could have given Raymond the over, who had a ball good in the game. And if Raymond didn't win the game, then people probably would be saying, yo, we should have given Young the ball because he had a good game.
Yeah.
So it could go both ways. I mean, captain went with his gut,
right.
and that's how it went.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew?
Yes, Mr. Sinandro.
Mark Almiers, you're trying to polish up this thing. The young man, this is the first match that the young man playing.
Yes.
The very first T20 match the young man ever playing for Barbados or for the Tridents. And you got experienced bowler. I would have preferred to lose the game with an experienced bowler than to give the young man the last over, 13 runs to go, and hit. And get 2 sixes knock all free. That's ridiculous.
Oh dear.
But Andre, want to ask you another question?
Yes.
These shows come on a podcast or when he's done the den?
No man, no. I mean, in fact, and I want to thank those at VOB. By tomorrow 10 o'clock, you can go to VOB929.com and it's right there.
And listen to any of these
yes,
shows.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to send you the link.
No, well, you can do that too, but I want to get a replay.
A fish one.
Are we your man Temi last week?
Who's this? Philo Wallace?
Yes. I want to get a replay of that.
Oh dear.
Because Philo Wallace got to apologize to me.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Mr. Sinandro. Wayne Cool Simmons. I didn't know you were Carlton man, Wayne Cool Simmons. I thought you were St. Catharines man. How are you, my friend?
I live on the West Coast, Andrew. I live on the West Coast.
All right. Now talk to me. I understand. I don't know if Kyle Mears has anything to do with this, but there's a Carlton T20 Classic, which is on our doorstep. Tell us about it.
Well, presently, Kyle is not participating because obviously he's on duty in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
But this would have been our 80th anniversary year, having been formed in 1940. And there were a number of things that we'd scheduled, which COVID obviously put an end to. And nevertheless, we've sought to know that conditions are returning to normal, some level of normalcy where cricket is concerned. We have within the club of itself what is the inaugural Carlton T20 Classic.
Mm.
And it's aimed at a number of things. One, we're raising funds to attend to a number of areas that require maintenance, as well as we're looking at the development of some of our younger cricketers. There are four teams are drawn from within the ranks of Carlton, and we're drawing from the elite, the intermediate, the second division, and the youth teams. And they're the ones that form the four teams.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful. And it starts when? Is it start time again?
Well, actually, we had a draft. The draft was on August 20th.
Okay.
And the first match started on the 23rd, which was Sunday. The matches are being played on each Sunday until later on in the season when they may have some conflicting dates. But we invite persons to look at our Facebook site, Carlton Cricket Club, and you can pick up the schedule. But this past weekend, we had the Engineering Techniques Lions, who were victorious over the Exquisite Rentals Warriors. And the other two teams in the competition are Illuminate, the Giants, as well as Lovemore Juices.
Interesting. And any admission? Yeah.
Interesting names.
Would it cost me anything to get?
There's no admission.
No admission?
There's no admission. But we invite persons to come down because we do have a bar that is operating. Of course, we're also observing the protocols of COVID.
Oh, yes, so that's important. That
you're taking, having your temperature taken, sanitized. Persons will, of course, volunteer their contact information. But we are eternally grateful to those who have sponsored in Illuminate, also the Kadumat Band and Illuminate Lighting Rentals, Exquisite Event Rentals, Engineering Techniques, and of course, Love More Juices. They are the main sponsors. But along with them, others too have thrown in their hand in the persons or the businesses of Little League Gym, Fitness Essentials Plus, and Lifestyles Fitness and Body Transformations. There's One Media, Flash Zone Bar and Restaurant, Barb's Cottage, Land and Sea Surveys, Water Hill Property Development, and of course, my own sound system for the announcements and such like. So the atmosphere is one that is very charged. It was electrifying on Sunday gone because within the members themselves, there are the rights, bragging rights that they are all aiming for. And I'm kind of going to let you know, and I know you're following everything that's happening. The fellas can't wait for your return.
Run.
Keon, Dominic, and Naeem as well. All four of whom are playing in the CPL.
Kyle?
Yeah, I've been getting some messages about which team I'm going to play for. And all the captains messaging me and telling me, yeah, you need to play for my side. You know, just looking forward to it. I think it's a good thing the club is doing. As he rightfully said, it's about development in the club. And to see one of the youth players being Manny March in the first game,
Michael I thought Chandler.
That was awesome. Yeah, he took 5 wickets. I thought that was awesome. He spoke well, too. I think this is something that clubs should really look into. I mean, OB and Mr. Simmons, they're doing a great job, especially the media part of it, where they encourage youngsters, you know, to speak to the media and they post it on the social media and what's not, preparing them for situations like this. So when you come in front of a camera or even in on a show like this, you know how to talk and express yourself. So I think it's a good thing. Hopefully it can get bigger and we can invite a few clubs next year, more sponsors come on board or whatever the case may be. And you get to see more cricketers come out and see talent. I would like to see this cricket mainstream as well, taking a page from Wanderers on the book. I think Wanderers doing an excellent job in that. They're streaming their cricket. You know, a guy can get opportunity to play in Australia or England if someone on the stream watching from overseas, whatever the case may be. And I think that's very vital because at the end of the day, cricketers just can't depend on playing for Barbados because everybody can't play for Barbados. You know, everybody willing to play for Barbados, but can't happen. I mean, it's opportunities outside of Barbados. And I think it's a good opportunity for the youngsters. So it's a great tournament.
Okay, continue to call us 4341790. We got another 10 minutes left on the show. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, sir.
Could I read my poem now?
Yes.
I think this would explain what's happening with West Indies cricket.
Okay, now Kyle, take a note. There's a gentleman who is a poet.
And I'm going to tell Mr. Mayer.
He's not as good as George Lamin, but he's a poet.
I'm going to tell Mr. Mears, or Myers, as they call him, that be calculating with his body. He's getting runs in the upper back. They're still going for a big hit. Push and get a single and turn over the strike. He can't want better advice.
Appreciate it.
That's what with the West Indies players.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yes. All right.
But this one is called Falling. This is with the series that now gone in England.
Yes.
It's called West Indies Falling from Grace. All fellas running from the pace. Although they have on all the embrace, meaning the helmets and arm guard and all of those things, West Indies cricket still falling from grace. I have some advice for the team and Jason Holder. Continue to pray to the beholder. Because if they're frightened to get hit, get rid of all of those coaches and get some nursing kits. If they're frightened to play shots against the media pace of Neil Wagner and Ben Stokes, and they're running, what to say when they come up against the World Batters and the Pat Cummins? We know some teams running from the ball. Where we West Indies cricket going to know at all? Anytime that you are playing in the kingdom, you should be gaining and not losing wisdom. I don't mean to sound out of place because it's a team I embrace. But we have to get back to conquering the pace instead of falling from grace.
Mm-hmm.
I tell Mr. Mears that take that advice. He get in runs in the over and they still going for a big hit. Push on, he get a single and turn over, destroy, and he will do better.
All right.
Like what about the all players? You don't even too much big shot.
Right. All right. Thanks. Thanks.
I have another one with the three remedies for wrestling these cricket, but I will do that on another program.
Yeah, another program, yes. And of course, Doc Ford, listen to your poetry. Doc, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you mark him?
Well, he's our only poet, so we have to be.
Oh, I like that one. Wayne, have you ever heard the gentleman, the poet, before? Have you ever heard him?
No, but I'm impressed. I think he got his point across. And the thing about communications is to get across your message effectively, and I think he did that.
Yes, indeed. Now, Wayne, as an observer, the Tridents, are you worried?
I am. It is the form of cricket is that can be likened to a sprint. And, you know, if you get out the blocks slowly, then unless you're Usain Bolt who can overcome what is before you, you may very well find yourself wanting at the end.
Mm.
So I heard Kyle earlier say that we've got back-to-back matches, and if we can win five, that's a tall order to win five on a trot. And anything, I think the only person who's done anything five consecutively was Sir Everton Weeks. In scoring five centuries one after the other. So it's a tall order, but it's not impossible. And being a Trident supporter, well, I have to have faith that it can happen.
So Doc, mathematically, what would they have to do to qualify? Have you worked that one out, Doc? Or Kyle, have you worked it out mathematically?
You have to be in the top.
Kyle?
But you just have to be in the top. And if we reflect Trinidad and also Barbados last year, have had slow starts and prevailed in the end. So you know, once you get in the semifinals, you'll be all right. Because now it's just two semifinals and a final.
Can you do us a favor, Doc, in terms of the points? Do you have them there that you can just let our listeners know exactly what the points are? Because, well, this game now being played, the Talawas are 49 for 2, chasing 109. They lost an early wicket, but at the crease, Blackwood, who should have been playing, is on 15. And Ali's on 3. They lost the wicket of Walton. Kyle, your good friend Walton seems to be struggling a lot. That's not normal, Walton. He's a much better player than this, isn't he?
Yeah, again, I'm not too sure if Walton was playing any cricket. Remember the COVID shutdown. He doesn't represent West Indies at the moment. There was no franchise cricket. I don't even know if cricket was playing in Jamaica. So that could be a problem too as well. This cricket is tough too. I mean, if you don't prepare enough, and you come against world beaters. I mean, Tahir is one of the best in the world, and it can't really count that out. So it's just about preparation. I'm not sure if he had enough preparation, but being one of the stars of CPL for a few years now.
Do you have any?
I just think he needs to keep his head.
Do you have any concerns about the Tridents as you prepare for a big match again tomorrow? What, any concerns at all?
Not at all. As I told you, we lost games, but we're not being beaten badly. So there's no concerns, and I think we are growing as we play. As I told you, just to get the right formula. I think we can get things going. You just need our momentum, as Mr. Simmons rightfully said, this cricket is like a sprint. But as Mr. Brashaw said also, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Right.
So if we can gain some momentum now with the back-to-back games, because I think we're the only team that hasn't played back-to-back as yet. I think tomorrow we'll make our first back-to-back, and then we have some games in the cluster. So if we can get the winnings going from now and just try to keep the momentum right throughout the end of the tournament, I think we'll be in a good place.
Do you think the competition is too tight, though? I mean, players don't seem to have a lot of time, really. I mean, you play today, you go to sleep next day, you're playing. It's a bit tight, isn't it? Too tight?
It is jam-packed. Yeah, it is jam-packed, but at the end of the day, it's a big squad. So I think rotation will be key. I think some teams using the rotation well. The five games that the under 20 has to play is very crucial to as well. A lot of teams need to get in five games before the back end of the tournament and stuff.
So I think it's a very crucial thing with the rotation, because the games are coming fast and the outfields are very tough to play on, being wet. As when you Trent Daniels on the show said earlier, there's a lot of rain around. Playing on the wet is not easy at all, especially at this pace. T20 is high pace cricket.
Mm-hmm. I see. We got another, what, 2 to 3 minutes left in the show. Doc, do you have those points or not at the moment?
Trinbago Knight Riders are on top with 3 wins from 3 matches. That gives them 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Lucia Zooks also have 6 points with 3 wins from 4 matches, but their net run rate is lower in the positive than Trinbago Knight Riders. In the middle are the two teams that are playing is the Guyana Amazon Warriors with 4 points, 2 wins from 4 matches. Jamaica Talawas, 1 win from 3 matches. But again, it's a net run rate thing because Barbados Tridents and St. Kitts both have 2 points. So basically, at the top, we have 2 teams with 6 points. The third team has 4 points, and the other 3 have 2 points separated by net run rate. So the tournament is in its infancy, and there's still time. The point differentials aren't significant just yet.
All right. We've got another minute left on the show. 30 seconds for you, Wayne Cool Simmons, to promote the Carlton T20 Classic. And we're going to end it with Kyle Mayers. Wayne?
In the absence of two-day cricket in Barbados, you've got the opportunity now on Sundays to come to the Carlton Cricket Ground, Desmond Haynes Oval, 1:30 in the afternoon. There's no admission fee. Come on down and watch the T20 Classic, the inaugural one. Doors are open. Come on down and enjoy yourself.
Beautiful. Kyle, final words with you. The Tridents, they're the defending champions. Barbadians are concerned. You've just won one game so far. You've got a lot of matches to be played. What do you have to say to the people of Barbados as we end Mason and Guest tonight?
This one, the people, the supporters back in Barbados to just keep the faith, you know, and just keep on backing us. As I said, we have a good team. It's just about finding the right formula. And when we get the momentum, you know, everything is going to go well.
All right. Beautiful. And you know what was interesting? He said, keep the faith. And it's only fair that they end the program by saying, both faith and fair sail into the harbor of your mind, but only faith should be allowed to anchor. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.